Yeah, yeah, check one, two, check one, two. Is this mic on? Is this mic on? Hey, listen, man. It's the one and only trendsetter DJ Sense, and you're listening to Cocktails, Dirty Discussions with Kiki and Medina Monroe. Yeah.
Today's cocktail, ladies and gentlemen, is called What Happens in Vegas Stays in Vegas. So the alcohol that you need for this cocktail is gin. You're also going to need some olives, a lemon twist, and a cocktail glass. So here's how you're going to make it. It's straight. You're going to pour all the ingredients into a mixing glass with ice cubes. Stir well. Strain in chilled martini cocktail glass. Squeeze oil from the lemon peel onto the drink or garnish with an olive. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That sounds like a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas drink.
It sounds nasty.
Gin? I feel like you got to be grown to drink gin.
And you know what? When I first started drinking, I was trying to like catch up on less time. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to drink like the grown man drinks. Like I was drinking scotch at the bar. Ooh. I'm like the only woman doing that. And then my aunt got me started on Hendrick's gin, having gimlets, which wasn't so bad. But I'm like, why was I doing that? Like... What's going on? Like, what are you trying to prove, girl?
Can't do it. Keep tequila in my cup.
Stop trying to prove stuff with alcohol. That's the moral of the story of many of the mishaps in my life. Stop trying to prove
something. Stay in your lane when it comes to the alcohol.
I should have been drinking water and having caffeine pills.
Look.
And look at me now. Anyway, welcome back to Cocktails or Discussions, you guys. How was your week?
My week was good.
Was it 2 weeks? No, we was here last week.
Were we here last week?
Yeah, we were here last Monday.
Y'all, we got a lot Gavin. Going on, so we've been recording.
Bonus episode. We have a bonus episode with Gavin from Temptation Island.
And she's taking that boring tone because that was the energy he gave off.
If you care to hear what he had to say and get more about... Well, if you care to hear what he has to say, then make sure you sign up on patreon.com/cocktails. And there's a bonus video on there. I'm also going to do my very best because we're recording a lot earlier in the week than we used to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my very best to get the episodes up early. So even the episodes that comes out Thursday, if you're a patron, you'll get it maybe Wednesday. Whenever I'm done with it, you'll get it. But it'll be before the Thursday people. So, you know. It'll be good. Some of y'all can't wait. Some of y'all think the episodes come out on Tuesdays, and I don't know how, because we used to record on Tuesdays.
Yeah, they come out on Thursdays.
Yeah. I don't care what the internet says. Sometimes, I don't know, it acts a little wonky.
Yeah. Y'all sound real ungrateful. I went to Vegas.
Yes.
And it was so much fun.
What'd you go to Vegas for?
Just because some friends were going, I went, and I had the time of my life. Like, have you been to Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun.
I had a great time.
Yeah, we stayed in the Vidara. I did gamble. I played blackjack. I won $200. And then you know what I did?
You spent it.
I lost the tokens because they shouldn't make those things look like toys. I went to the bathroom and I sat it down, walked out for a second. Everybody's like, let's go cash your stuff in. I went to go cash it in. I was like, I left the tokens in the bathroom. I was so sad. Everybody's like, oh, it's just $200. Just $200. I was like, what y'all got?
That's my light bill.
But it was fun, girl. I got back early this morning, 6 a.m., and I pulled a U and went right to work.
Yeah. Okay. So when you sleep tonight, it's going to be so good. You're going to fall into a deep slumber. It's going to be fun. You're going to be like, you know what? I can do this again because you had so much fun. Had you had to leave early yesterday, you would have been mad.
Yeah. You're right.
You know, you got to maximize your time out of town and just suffer while you're in Atlanta. My weekend was, what was it? I don't even know how to describe it, but it was cool. I had a girls' night on Saturday night. That was really fun. Had a girls' night plus one guy yesterday. I have this one friend, and he's always there for girls' night. And I'm like, you need some guy friends. But we'll work on that. Anyway, overall, it was a good weekend. A lot of people were going through so many, like, dramatic situations.
I think this just happens when you get in your early 30s. We're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just like, what is happening in the sun and the moon and the stars? Like, why is everybody going through it right now?
I'm not going to lie. Lately, I have been very emotional.
I have been, too. Very emotional, very moody, very, like, everything is on my nerves. And at first, I thought it was, like, PMSing, but that has come and gone. So it can't just be that, like... I don't know. I'm obsessed with my horoscope, and it said that, so I don't know. Anyway, this week we have a guest. And funny enough, this is actually somebody I'd like to highlight for Weird Sex.
You said a man is not a necessity, a man is a luxury, like dessert. Yeah. A man is absolutely not a necessity. Did you mean that to sound mean and bitter? Oh, not at all. I adore dessert. I love men. I think men are the coolest. But you don't really need them to live.
So this week's Weird Sex, remember for the entire month of February, I was trying to find different women who are some sort of pioneers or leaders or just important people in the world of sex, dating, and that huge umbrella. Our guest this week is Miss Nicole Roebuck from Aid Atlanta, and she is the executive director, and she has been working in this field for a very long time, and I don't want to say too much about her so that we don't cut the time that we have to actually talk to her. We're going to skip the game this week and we're going to talk about the work that she does because it's really important. And as much fun and stuff as we like to have every day, every week with you guys, I think it's important for us not to forget that everything isn't all fun and games and there is a serious side to sex. So without further ado, let's welcome Miss Nicole Roebuck. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
You are most welcome.
We've been trying to get somebody to come on who actually knows what they're talking about for a long time because we don't want to share like a bunch of misinformation and just sound stupid and be a problem instead of helping. So thanks so much for coming.
You're welcome.
So would you be able to let our listeners know what exactly it is that you do for Aid Atlanta?
Sure. So I have full oversight of the agency. Aid Atlanta is a full service, comprehensive agency that provides HIV and AIDS direct care. Mm-hmm. So we actually have two clinics. We have case management services, mental health services. Mm-hmm. There's an on-site pharmacy run by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation that's on-site. We're also an affiliate of AIDS Healthcare Foundation. We also do prevention work. So that includes huge testing programs and initiatives. We see almost 100 people for just HIV testing or STD screening, STI screening every day. And we try to ensure that people have a safe space to come in and not feel judged, you know, so that they can get screened for STDs, STIs, and for HIV. So they can know their status. They can know where they stand. Sometimes you don't have symptoms.
Yeah.
And so you should know your status. If you're having sex, you need to be tested and it's free.
So is all of the tests free?
Yes.
And what STIs do y'all test for?
So we test for syphilis, we test for chlamydia, gonorrhea.
Okay.
Is there a reason why every place doesn't test for all of the like STDs, like herpes? I realize herpes is something you always have to like request.
Yeah, and that's because of several reasons. So syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea in particular, those three are very high incidence here in Georgia in particular. So you want to focus your resources on those, you know, STDs that are pretty serious and significant and you have a high incidence with. And then also with some of the other diseases, we don't necessarily test for those currently. Again, you know, we have to look at funding and those types of things which impact nonprofits. So we want to get the biggest bang for our buck.
I hear you on that. I was going to ask you, when you talk about creating a safe place for the patients, do people have to go through training to like make sure you don't have a look on your face when you do have to come and tell someone, hey, you tested positive for this?
Yes.
Is it intense training? Because I always felt like I don't know if I would be able to like hide it on my face.
Yeah. I mean, speaking for me myself, I tell my staff there's no way I could deliver a positive result. So, you know, you have to know, you know, you have to know yourself, know your lane. So, yes, our staff are very highly trained. There is HIV certification courses that they take. They have to do pre-counseling. So just make sure you're ready, you know, for what you're about to be tested for, that you understand what's going on, that you're going to get your results pretty instantly as you sit there. So just making sure people are ready and then understanding, why did you come in? What's your risks? Why do you think you should be tested? And so they do a full screening of risks, you know, what do you think you've engaged, what kind of behavior you think you've engaged in that has put you at risk for whether it's HIV or STIs. And then in terms of the results, they're trained to be empathetic, and they're also trained, like you said, not to have a face of judgment or fear, you know, because then that can impact how somebody receives the information. We're always upbeat, positive. This is something that you can live with if it's HIV, of course. STDs, you know, we immediately link people to care so they can get that treatment as well.
What is the typical response when somebody does have to deliver that positive result for HIV?
It depends. It really, truly depends. If you think to yourself, think to yourself, you know, right now.
I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I would faint.
I would just be like stuck. Somebody would have to carry me out.
Right.
And then I might have a bit of rage. I met a woman, she was going to another nonprofit that helps with specifically people who are living with HIV and AIDS and homelessness to get them places to go. So I met her in the hallway and we were talking and she was telling me how she found out when she was pregnant with a child that not only has she gotten chlamydia, but she has HIV. From the man she has three other children with. And she said that she cut up so bad, they wouldn't let her go home. And they had to, like, keep her for a while. And she was like, I'm going to kill him. And as dramatic as that sounds, I get it. Because it's like, you know, you think that you're in this monogamous relationship, you've decided you don't want to use protection, you're not using, you're not having safe sex, and then you become one of those people who has to live with this virus forever.
Exactly. Yeah. So your reactions or your description of a reaction is not very different from what we see. We run the gamut. We see men and women, of course, you know, anybody kind of coming through the doors. And sometimes people have a sense, you know, have a clue that maybe based on who they slept with, based on who they engaged in certain behaviors with, they may have known, maybe even known that person's HIV status. So they may have a sense of, okay, something's wrong here. And then you have the other gamut of, oh, I just came in with my girlfriend. We just said we're going to do this New Year's resolution thing.
Yeah,
we're
just that
do
time.
It together.
Routine
testing and what the hell.
When something like that happens, are you able to track, like, who you got it from or how long you've had it to try to figure out who you got it from? Or is it like, no, you just...
I would guess it's probably just your personal behavior.
Yes, exactly. So in terms of who you got it from, you should know your partners. You should know who you're sleeping with. And, you know, there's lots of, there's a spectrum of sex. I love that y'all are just open about sex because I think that that actually helps with some of the stigma around just HIV and AIDS and how it's looked at. It's like, oh my God, it's from sex. So therefore, you know, for some reason, you don't talk about it. So being open about the issue of sex in and of itself and just having people be more comfortable with that. But to your question, it depends on, you know, whether you know your partner. Some people might not know their partners. You know, they engage in certain activities where I don't really care who you are. Yeah. I don't have your name. I got your number and I really don't care. And again, no shade, no shame, no, it's just behaviors that different people engage in. It's not, there's no judgment on that. So in that case, you might not know. Right. But if you're tracking, kind of your partners, you know, you might know. The other thing is the state is required to do what's called disease investigation. So if you are positive, they will do that assessment of, you know, whoever you think were your partners. Do you have their phone numbers? And that is totally legal. Totally
legal. Will
y'all
contact them? Or is that something we have to do?
They contact them. They will contact them.
Wow.
Yep. And they will also, if you want to disclose as well, there are other programs that can help. Like if you're with a committed partner and you don't quite know how to explain that you have HIV, you know, there are techniques for the tips and techniques that folk would help with as well. So yes, DIS is called Disease Investigation Specialist. They would go out and track those people down.
So when they make that phone call, do they give out the person's name who is infected, or do
they said what they'll say is, we believe that you have been either exposed to whether it's HIV or syphilis is a big one as well.
I didn't realize syphilis was so big. Oh, it sounds huge. Like such an ancient disease.
Right? It's so
big. No, ma'am. It's big, and it's big about amongst people of color. Unfortunately.
A lot of people don't want to go get tested. And then that's something that if it progresses.
Yeah,
it's a lot different than when
you have a lot of difficulties if you progress with syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea. You could, you know, in some instances, you might become unable to have babies, you know. So getting tested is absolutely key. Getting tested is key. And so because when you're armed with your status, then you can do something. But if you're walking around with a potential disease, you're not armed to do anything because you don't know.
Speaking of being armed, I was reading some stuff about PrEP and PrET.
Great.
And there's, it seems to be that there's a lot of confusion about what those drugs are and what they really do. Yeah. Can you share with us what their purpose is and how they work and all of that?
Absolutely. So both the medication for PrEP and PEP, they're two approved by the FDA, Truvada and now Descovy, both made by Gilead Sciences. And basically, they're HIV medications. So they're HIV medications that people with HIV take. It may be one of their regimens. There's so many different HIV drugs now, which is great, you know, which allows folk to live much longer with the disease and really have minor side effects and complications. So they're basically HIV meds that are given to people who are high risk or an HIV negative in order to prevent the transmission of HIV.
So what's the difference between the two? Because
none. It's just with PEP. PEP is post-exposure. So meaning, let's say you think you had an exposure today. If you take those medications within 72 hours and then you take them for 30 days, your likelihood of contracting HIV is pretty minimal.
It's like, but
you
have to catch HIV the 72. Plan B.
It's like the morning after.
Yeah.
Pill almost.
Plus the birth control. For those 30 days.
Exactly. Okay.
And then you said the other one is...
And then PrEP is an ongoing regimen.
So like if you have a partner who you know is HIV positive,
you would take that. And you don't want to use condoms constantly. You know you're not going to. Because some people will just tell you, look, I ain't going to do all that. I'm not going to use condoms. We don't like it. You know, I feel that condoms are extremely effective, 99, you know, whatever the percent... effective rate is, but if people tell you I'm not doing that, then here's another option for you.
And so that's an ongoing passing it on.
It keeps you from contracting the disease.
It's for the negative person to have, not the positive.
So it builds up that
and that is like a protection. That's 100% certain.
It's about 99%.
Wow,
it's pretty effective.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the thing about PrEP, it's also a commitment. You know, so just like if you're HIV positive, you have to take it regularly because you have to keep that medication in your system so that it combats the HIV. So it doesn't even, you know, breakthrough is what I'll call it.
And another thing about prevention and just like awareness, really, whenever I remember learning in school a long time ago, when you contract it, it could be a while before that test comes back positive. How long can it take?
The window is about, I believe it's 3 weeks of a window. Mm-hmm. But even then, you may be asked to come back. Because sometimes those tests come up as indeterminate. Mm-hmm. And so they'll tell you to come back again.
What is indeterminate?
So you're kind of in the window where you're what they call seroconverting. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite. Remember, the test just reads the antibodies in your system that are building up to fight something that's attacking you. So it doesn't read HIV. It doesn't. Okay. It's not an HIV test. It's testing for the antibodies that build up once you get an infection. So your white blood cells start to fight, right? Because our bodies are pretty amazing. You know? Anything foreign comes into play, it starts to attack. So it'll read those antibodies, and there are particular antibodies associated with the HIV virus. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it's testing for. So they may tell you to come back. Because if you know for sure, you know, yep, I had unprotected sex with an HIV positive person, you know, they would more than likely tell you to come back in a few weeks just to make sure. The tests, though, now are pretty effective. They have like fourth generation tests now that can pick it up pretty quickly.
What does the test consist of? Is it
that I don't know in terms of ingredients? What's in it?
No. Like, how is it like a prick on the finger?
Oh, yes. Yes. Is the INSTI test is the one that's most popular. There is also what's called the OraSure. That was a kind of the first line of the what they call rapid tests. Mm-hmm. So first line was blood tests. You come in, you get your blood drawn. It sends it off to a lab. You're suffering for 2 weeks, you know, trying to figure out, oh my God. And then they came up with OraSure test, which is a swab. So they swab the entire insides of your mouth, and then they dip it in some solution. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows your result.
Give you a few minutes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're then waiting.
INSTI. Yeah, about 20.
Yeah.
INSTI is pretty instant. 2 minutes, you know, that one is a prick your finger. Put a little blood on the thingy, and then you stick it in the solution, and you'll see it in like 2 minutes. Now, usually they don't put it in front of you like, okay, watch it as it
you
runs.
You might knock that thing out of somebody's face.
No. You know, again, that's all about the training to our staff, because, you know, you don't want people to freak out.
And okay, so you find out that you have it. You take your medication for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about how they get their levels down to undetectable.
And you've done your homework. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed.
Some people, yeah, I have a lot of sex, so I try to be aware.
Good job.
But it's like, what does that really mean? Because some people, I don't feel like that means you don't have it. It's just you've gotten it down to a level where it's undetectable. But some people feel like other people are being cured.
No, you're not cured.
And I'm like, I don't think so.
No, you're not.
You can still pass that on, no matter how high or
you
low.
You can, but it's high. No. It's highly unlikely for you to transmit HIV if you have an undetectable viral load. So it's just the amount of virus in your blood per milliliter of blood. And the more virus you have in the blood, the more your ability to spread or infect somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But it is still possible, right?
It is possible, but very tiny, tiny percentage. That's why the message to our patients and our members is get you to an undetectable status. Because really, it's HIV positive people, right, that pass the disease on.
Yeah.
So you're even though they call it, which is interesting, secondary prevention, your first line of prevention is with people who are HIV positive, because you can't get it just standing up there, you know, sitting in a seat. So you have to have sex with
somebody.
Right. You can't get hugging, kissing, sitting on the chair that somebody just touched, eating behind them, fork. You know, we still have people who think that, though. Yeah. I mean, I know you're not surprised, but we still have people who think that kind of stuff. But so first line of prevention in our business is making sure that our patients get to an undetectable status. So that means they're taking their medications. Mm-hmm. They're coming in regularly to get their labs drawn. And sometimes the medications don't certain medications don't work for everybody. So you always want to make sure you come back in. So we make mm-hmm. sure there's no what's called resistance. So that means the HIV virus has become resistant to that line of medications and they can switch you, to another medication. So that's why it's important to not only take the meds, but make sure that you're coming into the doctor and getting your labs and eating right, all the things you do with a chronic disease.
What made you get started in this line of work?
A great question. So I'm a social worker by trade. And in New York that's a long time ago. Y'all might have not been born yet. But in New York City, I did an internship with an agency. And they actually they worked with families who were impacted by HIV and AIDS, and the kids were infected as a result of a mom, passing the infection on to her newborn baby. And so it was a respite program. And I just remember one of the patients or clients that I had, the little girl eventually succumbed to HIV. Her immune system was so weak. Now, they had a lot of stuff going on. And of course, at that time, too, we didn't have the advancements of the medications that we have now. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Georgia is up there, too, in terms of perinatal transmission of HIV. Mm-hmm. So women who, like you said, I got tested.
But I'm already pregnant.
I'm already pregnant. Mm-hmm. And for some people, because of lack of access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. Their prenatal visit is at 8 months, and we have that across the state in many areas where women don't have access to health care. So they're like, okay, I'm just not going to do nothing until I'm ready to deliver. At that time, it could be really almost too late. So we have a high perinatal transmission. And don't think high meaning thousands of people, but even one. Transmission is too high because it's so preventable.
How do you prevent it?
Medications. The mom will take antiretroviral medications during her pregnancy, and it's almost 100% effective.
If they can get it early enough.
Yes.
Why do you?
Even if they get it later on, like let's say they in their third trimester, there's been many success stories.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I know, for the most part, to my knowledge, I knew that there are no signs when you have HIV or AIDS. Like, let's say you just don't know, you're just kind of sick. I'm only asking this because the other day I watched some Compton. What's that Compton movie with Eazy-E and Ice Cube? Straight out of Compton. Mm-hmm. And when Eazy-E got HIV, he didn't, he was sick for a minute and just didn't go to the doctor. And then when he went to the doctor, he had HIV. Mm-hmm. Does that part happen quick? Like, if you keep getting a cold or, you're coughing up blood, there are absolutely no signs that you might get.
Yes, absolutely. There are signs. It's usually a lot of people get thrush. You know what thrush is? Mm-hmm.
It's a yeast infection in the mouth. Babies. Mm-hmm. When they have that thick stuff on their tongue.
Yeah. Oh. Fevers, night sweats, those are pretty common common symptoms. However, some people just think, I have a flu. Mm-hmm. Or I just have the cold, and it like I said, because your body is building up the immune system to fight, it does a pretty good job initially fighting until that virus starts to replicate and really attack good cells, right?
Because the virus itself is attacking your immune system.
You got it. That's what it does. Yeah. It's an immune deficiency disease.
Why do you think it's so prevalent, in Atlanta specifically, and just the South in general?
I think, I don't think I know, because I see it every day, that in particularly in Atlanta and in Georgia, we have a lot of disparities amongst health issues. If you look at African-American people, Black people, people of color, Hispanic people, mm-hmm. they have less access to healthcare. Mm-hmm. They have less education opportunities. They have less income. And so all of those things can create a perfect storm for disease, diabetes, heart disease. Women, Black women are actually number one. That's the number one killer of Black women is heart disease. Very at very young ages too. So check your heart too. just name a disease, you know, mm-hmm. we're highly impacted by those. And that has to do, again, many reasons, lack of access to healthcare, lack of information or knowledge regarding almost a feeling of that can't happen to me. This is a gay boy disease, you know, especially yeah. for women. It is not. And so
a lot of people try to attribute it to that, like especially with Atlanta. When I hear mm-hmm. stories, they're like, oh, it's because there's so many down low men. Careful, there's so many yeah. gay men. You got to be so careful. I'm like, first of all, it's gay men and down low men everywhere.
You got it.
Whether you think it or not.
That's right.
But they're not the only people who get it.
That's right.
So,
and so there are lots of other, like you said, it's like that sexual behavior is really not that different from West Coast, East Coast, mm-hmm. Montana, you know, Indiana. The sexual behavior isn't really that different. It's the access, what we call in the field, social determinants of healthcare, mm-hmm. Which impact disease and disparities in disease. So including, like I said, lack of access to, if you don't have income, right? Mm-hmm. No insurance, right? Mm-hmm. That means you're going to be depending on a system for you to possibly get insurance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many of the southern states did not expand Medicaid. And you might say, well, what that got to do with anything? Well, if 800,000 people who are currently uninsured, but they're poor, could have gotten Medicaid, mm-hmm. that gives them way more access to healthcare yeah. versus, like we were just saying, you know, sitting at home suffering, and it's not until my toe falls off that I'm gonna go to the emergency room until something really, really feels bad mm-hmm. that I'll go to the emergency room because I don't want a bill. I don't want to go to the doctor mm-hmm. and have to pay the doctor. I don't have any money to pay the doctor. You know, that's the first thing they ask you
and
when you show up to the front desk.
Able to get there.
Absolutely.
Like
getting
if you
there,
live in
transportation.
A country,
you got it.
And then getting the medicine if you mm-hmm. need to go.
So you find out you have it, then it's like, okay, well, right. I can't afford this.
Exactly.
Expensive medication that
and
I have
a
to
lot
take
of
every
people
day.
Think that's why I think it's key for us to give people good information because there is free services. That's what in Atlanta and many other service organizations provide are pretty much free services through federal grants. Mm-hmm. And they're across the state as well. It's not just in Atlanta. So making sure that people know that. So if they've ever, I'm going to say the word Ryan White program, ask somebody about a Ryan White program, look it up, mm-hmm. call our 800 number and ask, hey, I live in Macon. Can you tell me, you know, where I can get tested for HIV? Can you tell me where I can get HIV care? I've heard about this Ryan White program. Mm-hmm. The programs exist. I just don't think a lot of people are aware of them. So it's good to kind of have platforms where we can make sure that people know that there mm-hmm. is help out there, and it's free many of the time for people who are uninsured.
Did you know that many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating? Yikes! Native's deodorant is made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. And it really does work. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Meaning, you don't have to worry about being musty. You don't have to worry about having sweat stains in your shirt. I was not always interested in natural deodorant, aluminum-free deodorant, but I subscribe to Native now and I love it. I get the lavender and rose scent. It's my favorite. It feels good. I'm still dry throughout the day, but it's really good. You also get free shipping on every order, and Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the USA. Still not convinced? Check out the over 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers who made the switch to Native. With over 10 scents, including the classics and rotating seasonals, you're guaranteed to find the one that you love. Their classic scents include coconut and vanilla, which is the most popular, lavender and rose, which is what I use, cucumber and mint, eucalyptus and mint. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code cocktails during checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com and promo code COCKTALES for 20% off your first purchase.
Is there a, with those programs, do any of them offer transportation for people who may live too far to get there on their own?
Yes, we have a program that's in the LaGrange district. It's public health district 4. It covers 12 counties. And the healthcare center itself is in Noonan, Georgia, a little bit more city-fied than some of the other counties. But we provide taxi cab services. There's Uber Health. Uber actually has a health service where you can contract with them. Everything is protected in terms of people's personal health information. They go get them, bring them back, take them back. So, and we have MARTA cards at in Atlanta for, you know, more in the city where there's access to buses and train lines. So yeah, we have medical transportation services. Medicaid, if you have Medicaid, has transportation services.
So there's a lot of stuff out there. There's people stuff just out need there. To stop procrastinating.
You got it.
Stop and
ask somebody.
Ask somebody. Ask Google.
Yes, ask Google.
Ask Siri. Email us. Yes. We'll remind you.
Ryan White Program. Just all you got to do is look that up and you will see many services.
Do you know what the average like time span someone has now when they are infected with HIV or AIDS?
Lifespan?
Like, is it like, you know, a lot of people think about it. It's like, oh my gosh, I got AIDS. I'm going to die.
No way. That's no longer the case. In the beginning, in the 1980s, when there were no medications, they were experimenting with cancer medications, which actually worked. Cancer medications were the first medications they used on HIV-positive people that they showed success in terms of treatment. And they just, you know, started to improve the technology of medications. There should be no reason why people die with HIV in this day and age. No reason. So that's why you think about those social determinants of healthcare. You talked about housing. We do have a housing program as well for people living with HIV. You talked about, we talked about healthcare access, medical transportation access. All those things truly impact how people get into care or not, you know, because the technology is there. It's proven. You take your medications every day as prescribed, you will hit an undetectable status. And you can live a long, full life, quality life, work, have children. You know, so no one should be, no more brown people should be dying with HIV and AIDS.
So I have another question. So let's say someone is infected with HIV or AIDS and they're living their semi-healthy lifestyle and, you know, they're moving forward with their life. They meet someone and they have to tell them that they are infected. Is that a, do you guys, I would assume that someone needs a therapist to even get to the stage of where you can be like,
absolutely.
Let me tell you something. I have HIV or I have AIDS.
We do have mental health staff.
And what is that, you know, that, what advice would you give to someone to that has to have that conversation? Not even with someone you're serious with someone that you just like.
It's a process. It's a process. And it's not an easy process. I'm not going to sit here, even though, like I just said, there is 100% hope. There's 100% effective treatment for HIV. You still, the person is still a person, you know, and they still have to interact socially with folk. And it is a disease that's contracted through sex. So that's why it's good for people to be armed with the information, right? If you know that you are not adherent to what they call adherent to medical care, you know you're not taking your medications. And it might be because you are depressed. You have anxiety. You are afraid. You feel hopeless. You know, I would suggest that you kind of rethink your behaviors during that time frame because you're just putting yourself and somebody else at risk. So yes, mental health, emotional wellness is key to healing. And therapists just work with people to kind of get them to a point of readiness, get them to a place of understanding the disease itself. You know, there's, it's science, you know, if you do this thing, that thing and that thing. And that's how you can explain to your partner, you know, hey, I'm undetectable. Let me tell you what that means. You know, very unlikely for me to transmit the disease. But if you feel concerned, nervous, we use condoms. That's effective on top of effective, you know, and you can have those types of conversation. But it's hard, you know, that as women, I'm sure you've been talking about it in your forums, that it's hard for women first to even feel empowered to talk about sex first, and then to talk about how we're going to negotiate this relationship now, you know. But you're always in control. If somebody can't accept who you are, what you got, next.
Yeah.
Because there are people that, many people, married people, with HIV, men, women, successful relationships. You don't have to be HIV, you have to hook up with the HIV person in order to have a quality life. But you have to take control of your own life and your own narrative and be able to say, well, I get it. I get if you're not able, you know, to accept this or to deal with it. So I got to move on. And it's better to do that in the beginning versus you get into a relationship a year later, right? What would you think?
Now you're talking.
Now my whole opinion of you has changed. Maybe if I could have been open in the beginning had you gave me a choice, but now you kind of waited too long. I was going to ask, what's your legal obligation once you find out that you are HIV positive? Because I've seen so many stories where people know that they have it, they don't tell their people, and then they end up with like an attempted murder charge or something.
It's a real deal here in Georgia. Yeah. There are states like Georgia where there are criminalization of HIV laws that you spit on a police officer, you know, that kind of nonsense can get you in jail. There are a number of people in DeKalb jail, cabin particularly, for infecting somebody else with HIV without letting them know.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it's a real, that's a real situation. We're trying to advocate against criminalization types of laws.
Because it puts
folk, well, rape, right? Probably not so much, you know. It's all about the intent. What's your intent? And I'm not as well versed in terms of the whole legal aspect of it, but I do know in Georgia you can be arrested for not disclosing your HIV status. And it's going to be your word against my word, you know. Yeah. Did I tell you? Oh, I really did. Oh, no, I told them, you know. How you going to prove it? Depends on what judge you get, what you know,
and who hears the case.
So guess what? Let's prevent all of that. And let's ensure that we're empowering ourselves to have those conversations with our partners, not only about HIV, but STDs. STDs are way more prevalent and way more rampant here in Georgia.
And I think people take it way less serious. They do. Like, oh, I can just take antibiotics. I'll be fine in a few days.
Who wants to do that?
No one, because then you're going to have a yeast infection.
And after. Then you can't have cocktails for a few days.
Unless you're crazy and just be drinking on the cocktails.
Then your antibiotics might work, and it's just going to be a vicious cycle with an itchy vagina.
Yeah, why? Who wants all that?
Well, you don't have to.
Let's protect ourselves.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you, is there a level of sadness that comes with the line of work that you do with your job?
Yes, there is. There's a level of alarm. Alarm. You know, like I said, we can test easily 100 people, right? So it's not 100 people just skipping and saying, hey, I was just passing by. 100 people who probably had some kind of risk, right? They engaged in some kind of behavior that made them think, oh, hell, let me go do something. Let me try to know about this. So then you begin to think about What puts people in those types of situations? And there's lots of things. You have survival sex. You have people who are having sex in order to live. Right, we talked about those social determinants of care in order to have a place to live. Mm-hmm. If I say, hey, use a condom, I might get kicked out literally on the street. So how people are impacted and almost forced to make unhealthy choices. There's a lot of that that definitely goes on, especially amongst the black men and women that we see, because again, it's about access, right? Or lack of access. And, you know, just black people always having to fight to get, you know, some kind of equal treatment all the time. All those things have impact on the behaviors that people choose. Mm-hmm. So yes, there can be a level of alarm, like OMG. Mm-hmm. But then there's hope. I'm glad the 100 people came in, because they could have been sitting on their couches and just, you know, and turned a blind eye and said, I'm not coming in. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go in because I don't want to know, you know. So there's some sense of alarm and sadness, because, of course, in this field, our goal is to go out of business.
Yeah.
Our goal should be to go out of business, mm-hmm. you know, not to be in the business of mm-hmm. dealing with HIV. Hopefully there could be a cure one day and a vaccine to prevent and a cure to eradicate HIV altogether. But until then, because that doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon, we're going to be, you know, here standing and waiting for people and giving them a safe space to come into. But so, yes, it can be a sad place, sad feeling, but we can't get stuck there because we're providing hope and we're literally transforming lives.
So I have a question that you really might not have an answer to, but this is always joked about amongst black people. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson. It is always said that, like, you know, well, if you do have the right amount of money, you can get rid of your AIDS.
N-O. Not.
So Magic Johnson does still have AIDS. Of course. He just has what?
Of course, he's undetectable.
Did he have AIDS or did he have HIV?
I believe he had HIV. I don't think he was at stage four, which is AIDS, or stage three. Remember, HIV is a virus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And AIDS is like just this stage of disease, like stage four cancer or breast cancer. It's the... So AIDS isn't the virus. Mm-hmm. HIV is a virus. So anybody who has HIV, you have it forever. Mm-hmm. You have HIV forever. You may be diagnosed... with AIDS, but you can overcome an AIDS mm-hmm. diagnosis. You can, mm-hmm. you know, become
get back to
a higher CD4 count and a low undetectable viral load count, mm-hmm. and, you know, live with HIV forever. Once you have HIV, I'm not aware of any Magic Johnson cure that mm-hmm. has occurred. So that is an absolute myth. And a complete lie.
Wow. I gotta go to Aid Atlanta, get tested.
You better come on.
Get our list.
Monday
come
through
on,
Friday, 10 to 7 p.m. Make it a trip.
Oh, 10 to 7, that's a long time. So yeah. No matter what your work schedule is, you probably can get in there at
you
some
can
point.
Get in there.
Are y'all open just Monday through Friday? Or
Monday through Friday currently. We're looking at Saturday hours. We just have to gauge it and see. Mm-hmm.
My last question for you, I'm kind of curious about, like, the kids who are born with HIV or, like, the people who maybe weren't engaging in risky behavior, but a long time ago they got a blood transfusion before, you know, science knew about HIV.
Correct.
What's the counseling like, or what's the situations like with those people?
Yeah, we it's interesting you asked that. We had a 2-day summit, the Paradigm Shift Summit for women looking at HIV, social justice, and all of those issues that really impact health and HIV. And we had a young lady, she's pretty well known, Hydea Broadbent is her name, and she was born with HIV. Mm. And all of the things that come with, like you said, I did nothing, you know, to get the the virus. Mm-hmm. You know, I was born with the virus. And like I said, once you have it forever. Yeah. And so they have to negotiate from very young, right? Think about teen sex and being a teenager and socializing and who do I tell or who don't I tell, you know, being able to negotiate this? That at such a young age. So are mental health services. Yep. Mental health services are key. Emotional health and emotional wellness services are key for kids or, you know, young adults when they become young adults. When you're kids, right, you just know you're going to the doctor and your mom said, take this liquid. And because for kids, it's usually a liquid form. But then you start to become a teenager. And now you need to know what's wrong with me. What's going on with me? Unfortunately, I see a lot where parents haven't informed the kids.
So the kids don't even know what they're taking medicine for. They just know I'm sick.
Right. What's this going to make me feel better. You know? Yeah.
Wow. Well, I heard you say, why would somebody say that? I probably wouldn't do that. But I would just think, like, do I really want to put this stress on my young kid, like 5 years old? Do I really want to have that conversation yet? Or do I want to wait?
Right. And they don't quite can understand at that point anyway, you know, you could break it down in terms of, you know,
so tough.
To that kind of level.
Parent and child.
Absolutely. Parent and child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have grandparents raising kids because mom died, you know, during whatever process of getting themselves healthier, but not so much. So we have a lot of kids who may have, you know, been not even raised by their own parents who are HIV positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You talked about EZE too, you know, and I think it's, if any message that not necessarily even about HIV, right, is Black people, if you're hearing me, go and get care. Go and do your regular checkups. You know, if you don't feel good, go in to the doctor, you know, and demand to be seen. One of the things that came up a lot at this summit was women talking about they went to the doctor and they said, I had X kind of symptoms. And the doctor said, oh, no, you're good. Go home. And it was something serious that turned into something. So, you know your bodies, get in care, you know, that's the way that you can save yourself and potentially save others, save other partners as well. So go to the doctor, you know.
Go to the doctor. Go to Aid Atlanta. Look up the Ryan White program.
Yes.
Before we move on to Indecisive, Diane, are you able to give our listeners like some stats about Georgia or Atlanta, whatever you do have?
Yes, I sure do. So in Georgia, we have almost 58,000 people living with HIV. Of that, 24% of those are women. Of those women, I would say a good 90%+ are Black women. Black women bear the highest burden of HIV, as well as Black men who have sex with men. They bear the highest burden of HIV. In Atlanta, we have about 40,000. So if you think about 40,000 compared to the 58, right, that's a pretty significant chunk of folk live in Atlanta. So you're thinking of Metro Atlanta, it's about 20 counties. So people just think about Atlanta proper, Fulton County. Don't forget all the other counties that are in 20 county EMA, you know, places like Fayetteville and, you know, those counties are also in Metro Atlanta, Rockdale, where I'm from, you know, in Conyers, Gwinnett County. And there are four top counties actually that are actually going to be receiving some additional funding through the Ending the Epidemic plan. And the four top counties in Georgia are Fulton, number one, DeKalb, Gwinnett County, and Cobb County. Clayton County is a close fifth, so don't sleep if you're in Clayton County as well.
Don't sleep, look.
So there are, it's huge incidence here. Like I said, we bear almost three times the burden of our white counterparts in the South.
Crazy. I really think that Aid Atlanta should maybe set up outside of the clubs. And when you see somebody going home with somebody, do y'all know each other's status? Make it real uncomfortable. Everybody will be looking at each other like, well, let's
we
not
do have outreach in clubs, particularly the gay clubs.
Really? I've seen it outside of Bulldogs.
Never seen it.
Mobile testing unit. HF has a mobile testing unit. Uh-huh. Wow. Black van. It looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's funky. You could do everything up in there. They could test you, you know, draw your blood, mm-hmm. get your test results.
Get some condoms.
Get your link, get your condoms. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Get your LinkedIn to care. They can set up an appointment for you if you happen, you know, mm-hmm. To be positive. Yeah. So look for that HF van.
All right, you heard it.
Testing.
Right here on Cocktails.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We are going to go ahead and move on to Indecisive Diane, get in a quick advice and cocktail segment before we say goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Nicole wasn't going to share a cocktail. She's going to share a cocktail. I'm so excited.
Would you stop thinking about what everyone wants? Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want? What do you want?
All right, Diane, what cute little date idea do you have for our listeners this week?
Hey, ladies, it's me, Indecisive Diane. Okay, so listen, there's this high-end Mexican restaurant. They have premium margaritas. It's literally in Las Vegas in the Aria Resort and Casino. Go there. They close at 12 a.m. Like I said, the margaritas are to die for.
Thanks, girl. What's the address?
Here's the address. 3730 South Las Vegas Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada. Go there. Tell them I sent you. Thanks, girls. Bye, ladies.
Okay. All right, guys. And now we're back and it's time for advice. Remember, if you want to ask us any advice, email us at askcocktails@gmail.com. I have one pulled up that says, am I really about to be single after 2 years and 2 months?
That's what I have. Okay.
Hey friends, hey, I am literally going through this problem as I type. This morning I left my Apple Watch on the charger at home on accident, but my girlfriend went through it. She initially texted me about the text thread between me and my best friend / ex. There's a whole different advice letter I need to send. I explained to her once again that she was my friend and nothing else. So she kept scrolling and comes up on a text from a number not saved. Within the thread is a picture of a man and him telling me he still misses me and have a good weekend. I told him I missed him too. Who is the guy, you ask? A coworker. He and I have never had sex. He's never been to my house. I've never been to his. The most we've ever done was meet up after work for drinks and kiss. That's it. Tricky thing is, I've never mentioned him to her because I didn't feel like he was relevant to mention. He's not an ex, a longtime friend, nothing. And the only reason I said I miss you back is not to hurt his feelings. I also didn't want to tell her because I knew her mind would be wondering when I go to work. But of course, she ain't trying to hear that shit. I've apologized multiple times within the past 4 hours, admitting my wrong, saying how I fucked up, I hate it, and I don't know how to fix it. It doesn't seem like we're going to break up, but I don't want to be in a relationship where I'm under a fucking microscope. We've never had any infidelity issues or anything, but since I withheld this person from my past, she feels as though she can't trust me. What would Kiki and Medina do?
What the fuck should I do?
Signed, I fucked up this time.
I'm confused. This is a girl writing an email about her guy coworker, but she's with a woman.
She's with a woman.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I was making sure.
So she has an ex that I think is a woman that she was texting. And then she has the coworker that she was talking about, I miss you. But the ex is also her best friend. So it's a little too close to home, girl. And you know that.
Yeah, that's a little too close. Nicole, do you have any advice?
That is a great one. And you know, it's really interesting that I'm on here to hear that question. Because, you know, it just shows the fluidity mm-hmm. of sex, right? Mm-hmm. Women with women with men with men with women, trans with trans with women,
group
group sex, you know, all of the things that you can think of. Mm-hmm. I think when I first heard the post, mm-hmm. You know, I immediately reacted and said, well, there sounds to be like there's some trust problems here. mm-hmm. you know, and probably have been around because somebody wouldn't respond that quickly and want to end a 2-year relationship based mm-hmm. on a text. Mm-hmm. If something is based on a text, there's something wrong with that relationship in the beginning. So it sounds like there probably were trust issues in the beginning that they haven't resolved. And I don't think that until they resolve those trust issues mm-hmm. that they'll be able to move forward in a way that's honest and transparent where you can build that kind of intimacy with folk. Trust kills relationships. Even mm-hmm. though you say, I forgive you. And,
Sometimes you really
forgive them because you're always going. There's a reason that person is checking their phone mm-hmm. in the first place, right? That means something has happened before.
Something's up.
So check your trust meter.
And you need to check your honesty meter the person who wrote this in because you're saying you don't think you'll break up, but you just don't know. Like you have all this confusion. You kept the secret about the coworker who you're flirting with. Let's call a spade a spade. Maybe nothing has happened before, but you're probably a flirty person and you're more concerned about that person's feelings than your partner. And that could be a problem. And then you have this ex-best friend who is your ex. And then you have a whole nother advice letter to write about. So there's something there. And I don't think that your girlfriend is just like barking up a tree for no reason. So you need to check what you're doing and making sure that your actions line up with how you feel about this person. And that if you don't want to lose them, you need to tighten up. You can't make excuses for keeping all of these people in your life that make this other person feel uncomfortable because you're not respecting the relationship is what it sounds like. But good luck, girl. Let us know what happens to send in that other advice letter.
I don't even have anything to say. Just be honest. That was such great advice, y'all. Wow. Okay, so now okay, so now we're gonna move on to our cocktail segment, and I'm gonna read. I have one up. Do you want to read one, or do you want us to just read?
You can just read one, and she can do one, and then I have a real one for the next episode. Oh. But I know we're tight on time.
Okay, so this one, the subject line is my boyfriend gay? Maybe. I recently found out in high school my boyfriend would meet up with a gay friend of mine in the bathroom and get a blowjob from him. There were rumors that they made a sex tape, and when I started dating him, I asked him if this was true, and he denied it. But my friends told me that it was true and to tell him I saw the video. I later told him, don't lie, I saw the sex tape and I knew it was him. He admitted to it and told me he didn't like it and would never do it again. So I believed him. Later on, it came out it happened multiple times, and I asked him again about it, and he said the same thing, that he didn't like it and it was a mistake, so forth and so forth. I was clearly bothered by it, and it took me time to not think about this. Flash forward 2 years of dating, and we are now in college, and a friend of ours both told me and my boyfriend made a both told me and my boyfriend No, both told me that my boyfriend made a secret Snapchat to contact the gay man and showed me there was a video on site of the gay man giving a blowjob to an unknown guy, which kind of looked like his dick and was also in a bathroom, but I couldn't tell. I couldn't get it out of my head. And I, of course, asked him and he denied this, but he seemed very convincing. What do I do? Is my boyfriend gay? The gay man he got blowjobs from is very feminine. Does that matter? Thank you. I think those are two perfect. The advice was great that you're here, and even this one is great that you're here. That was supposed to be a cocktail. It was like a cocktail advice cocktail.
It's definitely more of an advice.
Drink more cocktails.
I'm going to go with he probably is. But
and you always again have that fluidity. You can mm-hmm. be bisexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People might not want to be categorized in this one box. You mm-hmm. know, people, that's why I love what Kiki said, which is you need to take control of your own shit. Mm-hmm. Make sure you figure yourself out, mm-hmm. because clearly there were signs back in high school mm-hmm. that and you ignored. So don't start asking questions now. You already know the answer. And it's okay, whatever the answer is. Again, it shouldn't be like a judgment on, okay, this is the answer. So, okay, let's say he says is yes. What you gonna do? That's the next thing. That's the next question. Mm-hmm. What's your next move? Mm-hmm. That's what you need to think about. If he says yes, what's your next move? If he says no, which he's been telling you, which is clearly a lie, what you gonna do? Mm-hmm. That's right. Your two choices. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do, girl? I hope you figure it out, because I do know. Sometimes we all do ask questions where you do know the answer. You know it. I do that all the time, weekly. Go with your gut and, girl,
figure out what you're okay with.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you really care if he likes men or not? Because I kind of feel like you don't really care. You just don't want other people to know that he's into men too. You got to figure that out. Open up your mind.
You got it.
And tell him to tell you the truth.
All right, Miss Nicole, a good cocktail.
Oh, Lord.
It could be current. It could be from when you were in high school or college.
That's what I'm thinking, because...
Were you wild?
I was. I'm so innocent. Let's let everybody believe that. But I remember in high school, I'm glad my parents are not here with us anymore, just for this particular story. But I would, I had a boyfriend, and everybody knew I had a boyfriend. So that wasn't the secret, you know. But the mm-hmm. secret was, before I would go out to majorette practice, mm-hmm. I would go see the boyfriend in the opposite direction, you know. And in St. Thomas, where I'm from, mm-hmm. you know, the bus on the right side is going. To the west, and the bus on the left side, it's going to the east. Well, I would stand on the east side mm-hmm. until, you know, people are not watching. Then I jump to the west side and go on down to the boyfriend. Unprotected sex, I must say. I was a dummy at that point. I was mm-hmm. not that knowledgeable, mm-hmm. not that educated. I could have been STD infected, I could have mm-hmm. been HIV infected, and I could have been pregnant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just look back at that time and I think about, I have a daughter, she's 19, and I see young people all the time. And, you know, I wish that I had this information that I shared today. You know, I wish I had that information. I wish my parents were more, you know, mm-hmm. Free and open about having, not to say like, you know, to tell you, yeah, run on and have some sex and we'll be good with it. But just having mm-hmm. that open, knowledgeable, mm-hmm. educational information, so I didn't have to learn stuff on mm-hmm. the street, you know, and do dumb stuff that put me at risk. So
it's almost like you should take, like, parents now should start to just, like, get their kids accustomed to yes. doing that at a young age. Even if you're not sexually active, let yes. me go with you and we're going to get tested together. So you yes. can make this a regimen, especially for our community. Like you're talking about, Black people are really, I'm not going for nothing.
For any kind of doctor appointment.
And it's like, people really need to just start taking your little babies up there and just make sure so they are not nervous
Absolutely.
Or scared. Because I can say, even as an adult, I get scared when I go get tested. I am scared as shit that I probably don't do it as regularly as I should.
Yeah.
It's scary. Thank you so much for coming, Nicole.
You are most welcome.
Do you have any events coming out or anything that you would like to let our listeners know?
International Condom Day. Come on, get all those condoms you can. It's on that? February 14th.
Valentine's Day. No, that's the perfect day.
That's the perfect
International Condom Day. Not come on now. Come to 8 Atlanta. Babies. Get those condoms. You know, and get yourself tested. Mm-hmm. And so you're ready for that nighttime rendezvous.
Yeah.
That's coming up right on Friday. Come on out and you know, get yourself tested, like I said. Pick up some treats. We're gonna have, like, you know, cool treats and stuff like that.
Happy Valentine's Day, get some condoms.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That's right.
Safe sex.
Love yourself before you love anybody else.
And you guys' website is aidatlanta.org.
www.aidatlanta.org. And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram and tweeting people in Atlanta.
Everywhere. Okay, well, thank you. thank you guys so much. Remember to send your cocktails or any other emails where you want to just collaborate with us, advertise with us, any of that good stuff to cocktails.atl@gmail.com. And also remember to check us out on Instagram at Cocktails Podcast. I am at Kiki Said So.
I'm at Coffee Bean Dean.
And in, what?
Brunch. Is this episode before or after that?
Okay, so we also have brunch at Sunday brunch at Club Traffic with Sue Solo. So make sure you guys reach out to her at reach@suesolo.com and send her like your phone number, how many people you want for brunch, because you do need to make reservations, and your ideal time and your contact information so that she can confirm or like schedule you around the time that you want. But come kick it with us. That's going to be Sunday, February 23rd.
Mm-hmm. See y'all there.
Okay, until next week, you guys. Goodbye.
Thank you. I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voice mailbox that has not been set up yet. Goodbye. Bye. 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 Goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B